I've heard it said, I've heard people instruct that if a person wants to be a good communicator, a good teacher, they have to meet their audience where they're at. Jesus is the very best at understanding where the people he's speaking to are coming from, their need to understand, their desire, and even their unspoken doubt. And if you would, for a few moments, enter with me into this gospel, into this place where the crowd is at, into the scripture. Jesus meets the people in this gospel where they are at. Many in the crowd come to see the spectacle of Jesus, to people watch. And we understand that, don't we? Certainly many want to see a miracle. In this group also are the skeptics, the doubters, and even some Pharisees too. Some have come with their hearts and minds very distant from God. Some of them inwardly challenge whether God can be the ruler of their life. And like some of us, they've heard about Jesus' miracles, but can't bring themselves to believe in Jesus. They know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Notice with me, though, that even though there's all these different people in the crowd, the doubters, the skeptics, and even the closed-minded people, Jesus still seeks to meet them, to engage them where they're at. He knows they come, wanting to know if Jesus is the Messiah. They want to know if they can trust him with their hearts before they can follow him. So Jesus tells them, and those of us here who are skeptics, about the farmer who trusts in God as he scatters the seed. He knows of a faithful God, although the farmer knows not how. That God provides for the farmer and his family. Some in the crowd and in every church will say to themselves, "That's nice, Jesus, but that's not good enough for me. I need to know more to give my life over to you. I must know more, understand everything before I can follow you." As I listen with you to Jesus with the crowd, knowing how much Jesus is seeking to meet each one of us where we're at, I feel a certain tension inside of me. Have you noticed that tension too? This tension is created in some of us when we need safety and control. That sets up a false barrier, doesn't it? A false barrier between us and Jesus. Between us and completely trusting him, to really let him be the Lord of our life. In tough times, when our plans, our good plans that we've made, that those plans crumble, when we're faced with a job loss, when we're faced with the illness of a family member, when we're faced with that thing that turns our life upside down, it becomes difficult, and sometimes we want to step away. Step away to know if, in some kind of doubt, will God really be there before us? Will he provide? Will God be able to make a way where we see no way at all? We have such limited vision, don't we? Especially at those hard times. Our vision is so short-sighted. So Jesus teaches us about the tiniest of seeds. If we saw a mustard seed the first time we ever saw one, how could we ever know? How would anyone ever know that it could grow to be the largest of plants? And Jesus invites us then in these parables to trust in God's plan for us, that we will flourish in his vision and not ours. As we enter into the scene and we walk with the crowd, listening to Jesus, it's hard not to notice that people are walking away. Even hearing about God's care for them, and the farmer, even knowing that God has a vision for each one of us too that we can't possibly see clearly, people walk away. My brothers and sisters, I know what it's like to be in the crowd and then walk away. To hear Jesus' voice calling each of us to discipleship, but then walk away. This happens, at least to some of us, when we try to see how Jesus will fit into our plans. How does Jesus fit into my life? I have a good plan for my life. Come along, Jesus, for the ride. Be my co-pilot on my flight plan. I'm telling you this because it's easy to believe in ourselves. It's easy to believe in our own self-destiny when we aren't sure of the path forward with Jesus. Inwardly, without speaking it out loud, my discipleship was about my own business. I promised Jesus in my heart that if he called me so loud that I could not hear any other voice, that I could not hear anything else, then I would follow him unreservedly. Pretty silly, isn't it? I mean, I think it's kind of silly just when I say it out loud. Jesus, remove every choice but a choice for you, and I will choose you over me. That's not love. That's not how we respond to love. People in the crowd with Jesus set up other barriers too. Many believers need to understand first, to know everything before they go all in with Jesus. And Jesus meets them where they're at. He comes with parables to help them understand a little more in the hope that his love will spark a response in them. That's it, isn't it? That's it in a nutshell. Jesus comes to each of us in the crowd, with a full-on love for us, and he seeks our response. And, as we see in all the Gospels, some people do respond. Some people do step out of the crowd. Some people make that scary response. They give the pilot seat over to Jesus at each Mass, at each moment. Jesus calls us to respond to his love. Just like these first disciples, we must respond in a different way. We must respond by saying, I choose you, Jesus, before I fully know you. I choose you, Jesus, before I can fully understand everything. Jesus, I choose you so I can totally believe. And before we respond, it's important to note that Jesus sees the mustard seed in each one of us. He sees that tininess about us that we see ourselves in, but he sees the great tree that we can become. Before we choose him, he turns to each of us and says, I choose you even though I know you. I know your sins. Jesus says, I choose you even before you understand, even though you understand so little. I choose you because I believe in you before you believe in me. Now, I know this makes little sense, but that's love. We think Jesus is taking a risk on us, but not really, not really. With our choice, he supplies the grace we need. With our choice, he supplies understanding and so much more. So notice with me one last thing that I think may be the most important thing in this gospel. It says here at the very end, without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. Our choice for Jesus is a very intimate place to go. Our choice for Jesus opens the door to a private meeting with him, a private relationship that is beyond all others. Our choice gives us that intimate clarity that love provides, sustained by the food of Jesus' body and blood. Our intimacy and connection becomes deeper and stronger. But of course, you know, that's love.